Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We welcome in Von Miller from your Washington Commanders. Good morning, Von. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We are doing well. So the $64,000 question is, were you guys giving Dan Quinn the side eye post-game after he left Jaden Daniels in our opinion, a lot of people's opinion, too long in a game that was out of hand against the Seahawks?
No. I was paying attention to the game, and you know, I'll just hearing the, you know, the lingo on the sideline. They were saying at the beginning of the drive, like, this is the last one that everybody was going to get. So hindsight is always 20/20, but you know, it was just a tough situation all the way around. It was still some time left on the clock. You know, the guys wanted to go out there, and unfortunately, you know, Jaden ended up getting hurt.
What'd you think of Seattle's offense? First drive, they just march it right down on you. Happened again in the second drive. Darnold has an amazing half. What were your impressions of that offense?
Yeah, they're very effective. Just a solid unit all the way around.
I want to ask you a hard question, Von. I know you've been super supportive. I know you love the staff. You've said week after week, you've said how impressed you are with the guys and everything. What are the just give us insight, because we're not there. What are the consequences, though, like when we keep having these kinds of games like this? I'm sure they're harder on you. I'm sure they're extra analyzing things. But can you give us any insight into what it's like as a player in, when you're going through a situation like this? Because it seems like from afar, just the same stuff keeps happening, and we're bringing the same guys out. I mean, it's kind of who you got. You play who you got. But, like, what are the consequences? Like, how are the guys buckling down on you guys? What's it been like the last month or so?
Whenever, especially on a football team, whenever I'm hit with, you know, adversity or tight situations like this, I always look at me, like, what is my contribution to this? Like, mm-hmm. How do I fix it? And I try to you know, get everybody to see it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And if we all can see it from that perspective, we'll be able to get it fixed. You know, it's simple, you know, solutions to, you know, complex things. And I always just try to, like, look at me. What am I doing? How am I contributing to this? What can I do better? And, you know, that's the perspective that I like to go about things.
You know, because Coach has been saying that, you know, it comes from within. The answer's from within, you know. And I understand what he's saying, but I just don't see any changes. So, but you kind of agree with that. Like, the answer's from within. It's the little things. You got to break it down to the smallest details, the smallest edge. We got to make sure that we're taking advantage of every edge, that sort of thing. That's what he keeps preaching. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to be the smallest thing. Some, like I said, sometimes it's just simple things. Like, it's you know, we'll be able to get, you know, some guys healthy, you know, that'll help play more efficiently from an individual standpoint. You know, that'll help. You know, there are no magic calls. There is no magic defense and no magic offense. You know, I always start with myself. Like, how can I contribute more? What am I doing wrong? Is there anything that I could do better? And it always is. That answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm. So what are those things this week that Von Miller can do better to help this team win?
I always like to start at practice in the film room. You know, I like to get in there and get a good lift in, get a solid workout, make sure, you know, my recovery's right. It starts with practice. You know, let me get some run plays. Let me get some pass plays to kind of build up that confidence around the guys that I could play a little bit, that I could play more in the game, that I could do more. And yeah, I that's where it starts with me. It starts at practice, contributing more and just building up the confidence and the coaches and my teammates that I could do more.
How often do you find yourself? I've never seen it. You know, I don't know. I know nothing, but. How often do you find yourself as a professional that, you know, you're human, that you lose focus, though? You find yourself, you know, you're a human being. Maybe you play too many video games or something and your brain just wired weird. But, like, you lose focus at times in practice or in games. Is that even a thing? Does that ever happen?
Our structure, you know, here at with the Commanders is so, you know, efficient. Like you said, you know, all humans struggle with consistency.
Right.
For me personally, I practice one day out of the week, so it's easy for me to have that laser focus on each and every play or each and every meeting. So, like I said, that's my perspective. So,
right. Is that something new here in Washington versus when you were in Buffalo or with the Rams or with Denver?
No, I think starting around 29, I started to get, you know, lighter workloads, maybe even earlier than that. Maybe, I remember year five with Coach Kubiak with the Denver Broncos and having a day on, day off in training camp. So I've always had like a easier load. And I mean, this is my 15th year in the league. So it's
working.
It's definitely needed.
Hey, Von, can you recall being on a team in either college or the NFL that's had the injury run like the one you're seeing with the Commanders right now? I mean, it's scary.
Man, I'm sure I have. I have had, you know, teams like this. But you know, 15 years in, all I can remember is recent years. You know, it's always, you know, some tough injuries. But I do not, you know, remember off my recent memory, you know, as many tough injuries that we've had to as many star players.
Right. It's been brutal. What about bringing Witt down? I know you guys all like him, respect him, and you guys, you know, no problems with the staff at all. What kind of, how does that bring a different perspective? What's your perspective on having your D coordinator on the field versus being up in a box?
The communication is right there. You can just ask questions. You can check and see what's going on right there.
So it's helpful. You know, so you like it.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I play with the defensive coordinator up and I had success, and I play with the defensive coordinator down on the field and have success. Both ways, I've won a Super Bowl. So it's you know, you can have success, you know,
right,
either way it goes.
Right. Yep.
What are you guys
going to – But obviously, we got to make a change. Obviously, you know, we got to we got to do something. Obviously, you know, we searching for, you know, some type of, you know, lift, and to keep doing the same thing is not the answer. So I like the change, and hopefully it'll be able to give us a spark.
Well, what was said, I don't know how much you can tell me here, but what was said at halftime of this game when you guys were down, you know, big, 31-7, I believe. What was said?
Oh, you know, me, I'm always, I just got to pulse on the energy. I'm a huge energy guy. Like, you don't want guys to come in there with the raw, come on, guys, we can do it. We can still do this thing. Like, let's get out. Like, you know, you got to be based in reality. Like,
right.
You know, we're down 28 points at half. Like, and the reality of it is we haven't played our best game. You know, let's go out here and play. Let's play our best. Let's play as best as we possibly can and see what happens. You know, I like living in that neutral space. You know, I always like to have an optimistic view and a positive view on life. But in some situations, based on reality, you got to downshift to neutral. Never negative, though. Never go to right. negative. Way,
oh, we specialize in negative here. Yeah, that's kind of our thing, Bob.
He can't as a player.
Yeah, that's kind of our thing.
No,
that's
I like
okay.
that,
you stay
though.
Positive.
But it's like, it's kind of like my daughter plays volleyball. Nobody cares. But if it's like you're down 24-15, you know you're not going to probably win the set, but you want to try to win a few more points. Stay positive.
Stay competitive.
It's kind of that vibe.
Yvonne, I'm curious personnel-wise on this Commanders defense. Who's impressed you the most that maybe you didn't know that much about?
Jacob Martin. I knew a lot about Jacob Martin, but you know, seeing the way that he goes about his business every day, man. You know, he's definitely impressed me, and then getting to know him on a personal level, man. Like that's one of my guys. I've been knowing him for a long time, but I feel like we closer than that. You know, it's just some guys that you have those bonds with, and that you just impressed with, and you know, Deron Payne and Javon Kinlaw, like those are guys in the middle. Like those are star guys.
Mm-hmm.
Been super impressed with those guys. You know, Bobby Wagner and Frankie, man. It is tough to lose Frankie to a suspension like that. But you know, all the guys in the middle, man. I've been impressed with all of those guys.
So with Frankie being suspended for these hip drop tackles, that means McGee's going to play more. Fill us in on his game.
McGee is very capable. He's been playing, you know, a lot lately. We've been moving Frankie down to play defensive end, and you can see it. Like he's a star. He's a star in the making. He's fast. He's athletic. He runs. He hits. You know, he knows the defense. You know, he can rush the passer too. We had some plays in training camp where he was rushing the passer, and he was extra bendy, and you know, so he's got a little bit of everything in him, and you know, he's more than capable. Obviously you want Frankie out there, but you know, Jordan, he's more than capable of picking up all the slack.
Hey, Vaughn, I'm wondering what kind of guy you are in a sense that, you know, I know you have routines and you know, you're all about getting your body right and you're locked in, your family's in Texas and you're here and you're all about it. Are you the kind of guy that, like when you think about stuff and you're watching film, maybe at home, like you text the D coordinator, hey, I just thought maybe we should try this, or you stay in your lane and you just do what you're told?
I believe in having a sense of ownership in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love being around guys that have a sense of ownership in what we do. At the same time, having ownership but picking up the trash too, And I'm saying it literally and figuratively. Like, I like guys that just care so much about what we're doing and having ownership in what we're doing. And for me, you know, I'm not the defensive coordinator, but that's the way I look at the game. Like, I'm not the head coach, but that's the way I look at the game. I'm not the GM, but that's the way I look at the game. I'm not, you know, the inside linebacker or the defensive tackle, but that's the way I look at the game. So if there's anything that needs to be said from any of those perspectives, I've never been, you know, shy in saying it. And, you know, it's been tough because, you know, there really isn't much that has needed to be said. Like, and I feel like, you know, it's just a tough situation for all these guys. In my opinion, I felt like we have been doing, you know, everything that we needed to do to get these wins. Like, before that, you know, before that Chiefs game, you couldn't tell me that we were going to lose that game. And, you know, that was the same thing versus the Seahawks. You know, everybody had us ready to go. We were more than prepared for that game. We were recovered for that game. Like I said, we were mentally prepared, physically prepared, emotionally prepared. DQ does a good job of raising the morale and the spirit of the core and, you know, having us ready to go. I'm not sure what the disconnect is between the time that we ran out in the locker room at the stadium and actually playing the game. Mm-hmm. Because everything up until that point, we are more than prepared for whatever the task is.
Vaughn, just to shift topics a little bit, the last time you came on, you gave us a Von Miller Netflix recommendation. Now, you did say that you were falling asleep in A House of Dynamite. I got to tell you, I watched it first 20 minutes, thought it was really good. And then it's one of those movies where they do the same scenes from a different perspective, and mm-hmm. it just got repetitive to me. So I get why you fell asleep.
It still was a good movie though, and they did it all without actually showing things blowing up or like without ever getting to those scenes. So at the end,
yeah,
like, it kind of leaves you,
yep,
like what actually happened.
You got to interpret it.
Yeah, and I love movies with those type of dynamics and what dimensions happened? Like that.
What are you going to watch today?
Hopefully the Lions film. That's what I'll be watching.
Oh, I mean, boy. So
I'll throw that in there.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, I mean, you got to have a life. You got to have a life, too. I mean, I watch film, and well, at the same time, I'm always going to have time for me.
Me too, brother. No. I'm with you. I got a lot of leisure time.
You guys should hang out. You should hang out
over the sauna. I got a new sauna, buddy. You're gonna love it.
No, I wouldn't call it leisure. I wouldn't call it leisure. Like this is my life, and getting ready for the Lions is the most important and the priority. But at the same time, like I gotta, you know, I'm gonna have a couple 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe an hour here to myself. And you know, I haven't really even looked. I know. Apple TV and Netflix, they've been lacking a little bit. I do start my the very first episode of my podcast today.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, Free Range with Von Miller. It's gonna be on the Odyssey app as well.
Uh-huh.
And you can get it wherever you get your podcast at, from nice. Spotify. You know,
who do you do it with?
It's just me.
Oh.
And it's a play on it's Free Range. It's a play on my chicken farm. But, you know, we're free range about all topics. Obviously, this football season right now, so we'll start there. Start with, you know, huge topics around the league. Obviously, my perspective on playing with the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a huge one as well. And then we'll be able to drift off to other topics as well.
Yvonne, have you ever had infighting like what's happening with the Bengals where – you know, they're giving up over 40 points per game. Chase Brown, after the game, is calling out the defense. We just need to get a stop.
Oh, boy.
That's not good.
Whenever you go to the media, there is nothing that – there is no win in that situation. When I go to the media and I start pointing fingers like what Tua did a couple of weeks ago, or, mm-hmm. you know, Chase Brown, whenever it gets to that situation, well, I got to – it's like me and my brother, we get into it, and you go and tell mom, like, mom, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't want to get more eyes on the situation than what's needed. And anything that can be said in front of the media, I can say in the locker room or I can say in the team meeting. So that's just my perspective on that, man. And I have seen infighting. Like, I've seen my teammates fight on the field, like, throwing blows, like, on the mm-hmm. field before the play. And, you know, the other team looking like, what's going on? And the ref is actually looking like, what's going on? Do I throw a flag on this? Like, but I've seen it, man. And 15 years in, you see a little bit of everything, and that's gonna happen, man. You just got to be able to ground yourself and reset.
Right. Well, listen, I know you only have like 15 or 20 minutes every day to chill, but if you ever have about 6 hours and you want to go to the club with me, you want to hit the sauna, you want to lift weights,
hit some golf balls,
you
want to
play about 18, then we sit down and have a nice dinner, maybe a cigar.
Pickleball.
Yeah, then, you know, go home, chill. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah.
Sure. I got you.
I appreciate the offer, but probably not.
Probably smart move, Vaughn.
I'm not surprised.
We're basically strangers to you. All right, Vaughn, thanks again.
I can meet you in Leesburg for happy hour, though.
Best of luck against the Lions. We'll talk to you again next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're all on YouTube at the 106.7 The Fan page. We're on Monumental Sports Network. Broadcasting live from the BigBear.ai Performance Center, Ashburn, Virginia. Getting ready for Commanders practice today. B, I got to tell you something.
What you got?
Trying to eat peanut butter crackers during a break on a radio show, not the smartest thing in the world.
Well, you do a lot of things that are not smart, bro. Peanuts is not something you want to eat if you got to start talking.
I got
peanuts. Or peanut butter.
I got peanuts and peanut butter crackers.
Nah, that's the two things you do not want to try.
All right, I wanted to take a look at something. So, obviously, the last time Washington and Detroit played, Washington won in convincing fashion.
Yeah.
It was in the divisional round of the playoffs. It was cold as hell in Michigan. You and I were there. It was quite a night, man. It was pretty damn cool.
It was.
Shout out to Lee Armstrong. He gave me a ride home the next morning. That was a fun flight. So the earliest line I can gather on this game is from May when they announced the schedule. And I think that's fairly irrelevant. Way back in May, when oddsmakers first started giving lines on this game, Commanders were favored by 1.5.
Yeah.
So if you figure 3 points for home field, they had Washington as a very, very, very narrow favorite. That held all the way until, and this is what I find odd, October 28th was last weekend, right? I guess... Halloween.
Nah, it was right before last weekend.
Halloween was Friday night, right? So October 28th is like a week.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. At that point, they installed Detroit as a 3-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened on October 28th? The Commanders said Jaden Daniels is playing. Jaden's back.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, Detroit's a 3-point favorite. That holds until the game was, they played probably November 2nd or 3rd, right?
Second.
Then Detroit starts to move up, right? At one point it's 4.5, then it's 3.5, then it's back down to 3. Because Detroit just lost to Minnesota at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's thinking about this. The Lions have lost 2 of their last 3, and their injury report is pretty significant, too. It's not Washington's. They're not without their starting quarterback. But they could be missing as many as 3 of their starting offensive linemen.
Mm.
All right. So before Washington kicks off against Seattle, it was Detroit minus 3. Then Washington plays Seattle. Jaden gets hurt. That line jumps to 7.5.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much held there. At one point, it jumped to 8.5, and it got as high as 9.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just earlier. That was like 2 days ago. And now it seems like it's settling down back to a touchdown and a half. 7.5. What do you make of the line movement? I think when it was at 3 with Jaden and jumping to 7 without Jaden, I think that's pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes all the way up to 9. Now it's back down to 7. If you look at the action on this, overwhelmingly people are betting Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately for Washington, overwhelmingly people were betting on Seattle. They covered. Overwhelmingly people were betting on Kansas mm-hmm. City, and they covered. So this is not like a...
Well, see, that's why the line is moving, because overwhelmingly those things happen, and I keep telling you, the line don't move.
But
based
for it
off
to
of,
move back down is odd.
Yeah, but it's not always because of just information. It's a lot of time they try to make that thing be split in the middle. You know, and if you went to 9.5, there are people that still believe, well, they just lost, like you said, 2 of the last 3. They're not going to win by that much. So you get people betting on taking the under, and then all of a sudden, no, let's move it back to 7.5, which makes you think a little bit more. No.
Lions yesterday on the injury report, Taylor Decker, Penei Sewell, and Dan Skipper, 3 tackles for this team, all DNPs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's DNP for rest. That's just DNP. Decker's a shoulder. Sewell is a shoulder. Skipper is his back. I mean, that's a pretty significant injury situation for Detroit. But you know what stinks, B?
What's that?
Like, ideally, if you're down a bunch of tackles, your defensive ends are going to be really looking to feast. Washington's so far down at the end, you've got Von Miller in clear passing situations, but beyond that, it's like,
but people haven't proven themselves just yet.
Jacob Martin's giving him some good rushes.
Yeah.
Frankie Louvu, I guess. Louvu's not suspended. I don't know, man. This is a difficult game.
Could Louvu be put back in the lineup be a reason that the line moved a little bit? Because when he was – at first they say he was suspended.
Maybe that's why
could have went up to 9, and he comes back, it drops back to 7.5. I don't know.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that. So it jumped up to – that honestly might track, B. When did the appeal announcement come out? Was that yesterday morning?
Somewhere around there.
I think it was Wednesday morning, so that would have been, what, the 5th? That could be it, because it went from 9.5 to 8.5, and now today it's back to 7.5. Looking at this game, I do think this will not be like the shootout so many are expecting. I think when you look at Detroit, B, they're an explosive offense. Jared Goff's a good player.
Very much so.
Amon-Ra St. Brown's a great player. Jameson Williams has real speed. Laporta's a player. Like, they are real players, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, and I'm curious, maybe you disagree, Detroit's identity is running the hell out of the football.
True. They only had 63 yards in the last game, though.
Right, and it's David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And Jahmyr Gibbs, your home run hitter, but Montgomery's your hammer. They have nicknames for each other based on a video game, Sonic and Knuckles. I don't have a lot of file on that.
I have none.
Sonic's the Hedgehog. I know Sonic. That was on Sega when I was a kid. I don't know who Knuckles is. Maybe Jeff can let me know. I think in this game, Detroit's going to be really focused on getting their run game going. Mm-hmm. And I think what every NFL game is difficult. Carolina just went to Green Bay and beat the Packers in Lambeau.
Yeah. Right?
I think Dan Campbell wants to get his offense back to a power running team. Dude, Detroit threw 8 games now, a little less than 40% of their third downs. Detroit, with this explosive offense and their ability to get downhill in the run game, 25th in the NFL on third down. 37 of 102 on the year.
Wow.
Don't you think Dan Campbell's going to look at this game as we're going to get our damn run game going?
Yeah, I think that the third down thing, it does say you're not doing much on first and second.
Right.
And but this thing, you got Gibbs and Montgomery. Which one would you run all the time? Because the power game is more about Montgomery, which is normally inside the tackles. And people can defend that. Gibbs, you put him back there. Gibbs can go inside, outside, catch the ball in the backfield, whatever. I think he gives you the better chance because he has, you know, more thinking that the defense has to do, more worrying they have to do. Montgomery, you know how this game plan for him. But that's what they seem to want to go with, Montgomery Moore, and use what's called as that change of pace back. Hell, I'll put him out there at the beginning.
Shout out to Ben Johnson for taking the ball out of Jahmyr Gibbs'
hand. Thank you.
And
thank you, Benjamin. Yeah.
I'll never understand that decision-making process in that divisional round game. I believe Gibbs was averaging 9 yards a touch, and they kept pulling him out to give the ball to David Montgomery.
Craziness.
We're going to open the phone. So just run of show here for the folks watching on TV or watching on YouTube or listening to us. We have a packed second half of the program. Sean Reed from the Washington Post is going to join us at 12:30. Hal Hirschfeld from the Washington Spirit. They're hosting a playoff game on Saturday. I think me and the girls are going to go. She's going to join us at 12:45. Peter Rosenberg going to join us at 1:30 from NYC. And then Brian Newberry is the head coach of the Naval Academy. Navy's playing Notre Dame in South Bend this weekend. Really big opportunity for Navy. They just dropped a tough one at North Texas. That North Texas team is good, dude. That coach is going to get paid. I don't know where he's going, but I know he's not staying at North Texas.
That's Texas. That North Texas is all green?
Mean green, yes, sir.
They better win the Sun Belt.
Are they in the Sun Belt or the American?
I think they were a Sun Belt.
I think they might be in the American.
I know we played them a few times.
I'm looking it up.
They're in the American.
In American? All right.
Yeah.
They were playing against us a good bit.
Well, I think maybe they were in the Sun Belt. Would you leave the American for this? Would you leave the Sun Belt for the American? White Brian, what's the better?
He wouldn't win it in the Sun Belt.
The Fun Belt, baby.
Teams in the American have a better chance at the playoff.
Okay, because you got bigger name teams, I guess. You got Memphis and East Carolina or whatever. All right, so that was a big loss for Navy because it was their first conference loss. One of these teams, B, is probably going to the college football playoff. Navy, Memphis, North Texas, South Florida, Tulane. I guess East Carolina's in there. No, they have too many losses. But it'll come down to winning this conference. And if Navy can knock off Notre Dame this weekend, that is a complete
game. If they knock off Notre Dame, they're going to be the one going to the playoff.
Bro, we're not going to bring this up with Coach later on today. Do you know what the line is, Navy going to South Bend?
It's probably something double digit.
It's almost 4 touchdowns.
That's double digits.
It is double digits. 26 and a hook. You know what I'm going to do? And again, I'm not going to mention this to Coach later in the program.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm taking the points. That's what I'm going to do.
Coach listening to you, man.
Well, Coach, I'm betting on you. We're cool. At 11 a.m., we're going to open these phone lines up. How does Washington beat Detroit? Tell me a player. Tell me a design, a scheme. How do they get this done? Because this team desperately needs a win. They've lost four in a row. You don't want to lose five in a row and have to get on a plane to Europe. You got to get a win. We're trying to track down the Commanders legend of the game. If anybody knows who it is, shoot me a text. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
But I'll give you an example, and eventually we'll open up the phones on this, with what you guys were the most wrong about going into the season for the Commanders at 800-636-1067. Here's what I want to go with. The thing that I think I got most wrong this year so far was that I was convinced their cornerback room was going to be significantly better than it was last year. And I go through the personnel group here one by one, having been out at training camp, been out at practices, saw the corners winning. They were playing way more man coverage. That was a talking point of Dan Quinn and of Joe Witt throughout camp, that they liked their corners better, and so they were going to have them play more man coverage. And at practice, Washington's receivers were getting got. Now you fast forward post Terry McLaurin to right now, and you're seeing that it was a lot of KJ Osborne and Chris Moore, and you know, one of the guys that was routing them up was Jalen Lane, who actually hasn't had it transitioned to the season, but Luke McCaffrey wasn't getting open. And it might have said more about Washington's receivers in the corners, a question we asked a few times, even back in the summer. But my argument for the corners being a lot better, which I thought was sound at the time, was Lattimore's not going to be as bad as he was last year. That didn't work out. Trey Amos is going to be a stellar rookie. I think that one is true. I think he's been really good. Not high impact, not game-changing or big-time plays, but I think he's been very solid.
Good, solid player, yeah.
Looks like a win in the second round. I was convinced that Mikey Sanristil was going to have a terrific season. He was coming off of a rookie year where I thought he was one of the true rising stars in any secondary in the NFL. He has probably taken as big a step backwards as anybody on the team, and I don't like saying that because I love Mikey. I think he's a great leader and a good young player and locker room presence. And then even down the depth chart, they bring in Jonathan Jones. That's a veteran quality deep reserve on your depth chart, the likes of which you didn't have much of last year. That was Michael Davis, who couldn't play in the league, basically. And now you've got Jones, who comes over from New England. I haven't even mentioned Noah Igbinoghene yet, who was a top three guy most games for them, playing a ton last year, who was slotted all the way down at fifth on the depth chart. And that was kind of my evidence of, wait a second, this guy had to play a bunch of snaps, and now he's fifth. They're way better at corner. I thought it was not only going to be an improved room, but like a league average or maybe a hair better corner room where they were without liabilities. And I couldn't have been more wrong. That is an area where looking at this season and predicting that they could go 10-7 and be a wild card team, to quote Dan Quinn, I missed it.
That's a good one. I have a million things I could pick on. Or pick out here, because I was wrong about a ton. I mean, I didn't have him as high as some folks, but I thought, for example, Frankie Louvu was going to be gangbusters. The guy that we're talking about to start the show. I thought he's unleashed, didn't have to worry about coverage anymore, doesn't have to have run fits. He's going to rush the passer and put up double-digit sacks. Ugh. Hadn't really had that impact at all. But there's a million things I could pick. Here's my generally. The offense. I thought that with mediocre personnel last year, with a guy that probably is a guard playing left tackle, with a bunch of leftovers, with a bunch of Jamison Crowder, Olamide Zaccheaus, Frankenstein second receivers, Noah Brown, a training camp cut, with nothing other than Terry McLaurin, Austin Ekeler, you know, two-thirds of the time, and Zach Ertz, who lacks any kind of explosion, anything other than catch and fall. This offense was excellent last year. Excellent. I thought, you know, even with slightly upgraded personnel, now I didn't know Austin Ekeler would go out, you know, as early as he did, but with slightly upgraded personnel and Deebo Samuel, this offense, regardless, would always be capable. They would always find a way to keep the team in the game. So overall, their numbers aren't terrible. They're 13th in the league in yards per play. But if you watch the last month, you know, they can't get to 300 total yards as a team. They can't run the ball. They can't really throw it. There's no threat. There's nothing explosive. There's nothing down the field. There's nothing that defenses have to worry about at any point in time, and they are feasting. They're having a grand old time playing against Washington. I am stunned by that, quite frankly. I thought the Cliff Kingsbury, I thought this group with what I thought would be an improved offensive line would always have an answer, even if it wasn't greatest show on turf stuff with Jaden healthy and McLaurin and all those guys. I understand the injuries have happened. I just can't believe there's nothing dynamic at all happening with this offense. And I'm stunned by that.
So the one I came up with when I looked for something I got most wrong on offense actually is a Terry McLaurin take, which is that I assumed McLaurin would have a McLaurin season, even as the issues dragged on in the offseason. I did not think he would hold out and then hold in the way that he did. And I didn't think the hold in was go as long as it did. But then when it did, and we talked about it every day on the show ad nauseum, I did not think that the hold-in would lead to the worst-case scenario season that it seems to have. And look, there's no true way to know that the year he's having is based on his offseason. But it certainly seems like it may have been a factor. And I remember thinking when he finally reported with a couple of weeks before the season, he'll probably get off to a slower start for a game or two, but in my wildest expectations, I didn't think we'd fast forward 10 weeks in and he's going to miss more time than he'd be on the field for, and when he'd play, he'd mostly just be another guy running routes out there. Because that's where we are. 9 weeks in, I would have had him around 50 catches and 600 yards, you know, on the normal paces that he is on, or, you know, maybe that's too high. Maybe it's 40 catches and 500 yards or whatever. But he's McLaurin being McLaurin. Instead, he's got 13 catches and 203 yards. And he had the one huge catch that he got hurt on against the Raiders. And he's had one game outside of that one play where he's had a Terry-like impact. And that was the Chiefs game.
Yep.
It was a painful, frankly, reminder of what they're missing. It was excellent in real time. It was awesome to see the catch on the sideline no one else on the team can make. It was even better to see the catch in the end zone that three or four guys in the league make. But it was also painful to know, oh, this is the thing. This is the thing you don't have. It's just like a little reminder of how good something tastes. You know what I'm saying? Like you quit smoking and you have that one cigarette or something. You're like, ah, I shouldn't have done that. Now I remember what it was, what it meant to me. But outside of the one catch against the Raiders and the one game against the Chiefs, the rest of this season, he's just kind of a guy who's been on the field for them from time to time. I did not have that in the office pool. Couldn't have been more wrong about how his season was going to go. That one is a little bit of a, you know, injury related, and that's not the way I want to go with the conversation. But when he's played, I think
hadn't been that impactful.
He's lacked the consistency that allows me to go with that one. So in the words of Dan Quinn, I missed it. And then I'll give you one more. The question we're asking here on Grant and Danny, what did you get most wrong about the 2025 Commanders so far? I thought their defense was going to be better than it was last year. Boy, was I wrong. I thought you go get Javon Kinlaw. Didn't love how much money he made, but whatever. He's going to be a presence for a team that can't stop the run. You go get better at corner. I just talked about being wrong about that. You bring in Will Harris at safety. Now, he got hurt, and that's why he hasn't helped. But this was my preseason kind of workshopping. Dorrance Armstrong finished so well end of last year into the playoffs. He's going to carry that over. Von Miller comes in here. He's going to help a ton. He's going to close games. You're going to be up three against the Bears, and he's going to get the big sack fumble. Look at the year-over-year 24 and 25 defenses. Last year, they were 16th, allowing 5.4 per play. This year, they're 30th, allowing 6.2 per play. Last year against the run, they were really, really bad, 28th, and that was where they invested all their energy, and they're up to 19th. It's been a very small upgrade. They've gone from like 4.7 per carry to 4.4, but I think a lot of that is the injuries to Wise and the edges now, and the numbers are getting worse. But the plan was okay. That was the one area they fixed, but they thought that's what's important. Well, in the meantime, you took your eye off the ball in the secondary. You went from 6.49 per pass last year, which was actually good for 12th in the NFL, to dead last 32nd at 8.36 per passing play against this year. On third downs, they've gone from 15th to 21st. So I thought this defense was going to be better, and I thought wrong. And that is one of the many, many things that I got the most wrong. And to quote Dan Quinn, I missed it.
I had something similar about the defense. I didn't think it would be much improved. In fact, I thought it would be marginally improved. And, you know, just going against some better teams, you're not going to get that many Cooper rushes. You're not going to get that many, name that backup Billy that they got last year, very fortuitously. You were going up against Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert and a bunch of guys that are pretty damn good. So I thought there'd be some regression. I never in my wildest dreams thought they'd be among the worst in the sport. I never in my... I had issues. I'm going, I don't see this working that great. I think they'll be okay. Maybe they'll turn some people over every now and again. But maybe this run defense thing is a good strategy, et cetera. I didn't see a major jump up into the top half of the league, but I didn't see a disaster. Like, I never in my wildest years would I have a competent defensive mind in Dan Quinn, another competent defensive mind in Joe Witt, who the entire league liked. The entire league was yes, oh, Joe Witt, that's a good hire for them. That's awesome. Now I'm not so sure, but... At that point, to have this in the second year where they could remake it in their own image, not what they inherited. They inherited what they got last year, tried to put some band-aids on it with Bobby Wagner and throw some stuff at the wall like Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler, which worked, and Dorrance Armstrong, who they stumbled onto. Totally fine. This is what they envisioned. Now we got what we want here. No more John Allen. Let's go get Kinlaw. That's our dude. We're going to go get the guys that we want, and they've gotten worse in every area. They're worse everywhere. I can't believe it's this bad. I was wrong about that.
Gilo on Twitter, you can hit us up at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny, says, what I got the most wrong this season? I thought the additions of Tunsil, Bill, and Debo would mean that they would push for being the best offense in the sport, and they never even started to click. Also, the defense would be improved, and somehow they are much worse this year. That's the question for you guys. So I just gave you three answers that I thought long and hard about and came up with. I thought their corners would be better this year. Wrong. I thought their defense was going to be better than it was last year. Loud wrong. And I thought Terry McLaurin was going to be McLaurin, even with the hold in. I didn't think it would be a major factor, and I guess there's no way to know that it was definitively a factor in these injuries, but it's been a disaster of a season, and I did not have that in the office pool.
I thought this offense would be proficient. I thought they'd still have explosive plays, even without great personnel. Good enough. Last year, they did it without superstars, and it's been terrible, especially over the last month. I thought Frankie Louvu would have a world-class impact off the edge and be among the league leaders in sacks and TFLs and a bunch of stuff. Hasn't happened. And then just generally on defense. I thought they'd be fine. Okay. They are a disaster. I didn't see that coming. I was wrong.
Here comes Walker and firing a shot from the top of the left circle, banging off the leg pads of Logan Thompson. And now as Beauvillier and Ovechkin will team up. And a puck behind the net. Binnington looking to play it, and he gave it away to Ovechkin. The puck centered up here for Chychrun, a drive, and a puck that is in, a score! And it's 900 goals for Alexander Ovechkin! The 900 Club has its first member! The odometer turns over, and the bench empties, and Alex Ovechkin has done it! National Hockey League history to 900 goals.
There was last night John Walton on the call, heard on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, home of your Washington Capitals. Early second period gave the Caps a 2-0 lead. And St. Louis Blues goalie Jordan Binnington took the puck out of the net and stuffed it into his pants. But they saw it. And they found it and said, sorry, you got to give that puck up. That was a slick move that old Binnington tried. Isn't he a Stanley Cup winning goaltender? Didn't the Blues beat the Bruins like in the finals
in 2019,
a few years ago?
The year after the Caps won, yes.
Yeah. And he was their starting goaltender,
he
correct?
Sure was, yep.
Yeah. There you go. Alex Ovechkin, man, it just keeps coming. Third goal of the year here in game 13. And really, in many ways, even more important than that, the Caps stopped a four-game losing skid after starting the season on fire. They had lost four in a row. Good on Alex. I think that is the last momentous goal, unless he gets to 1,000. And I doubt that's going to happen.
Shocking, Kevin.
Yeah. I don't think that there's another one, right? Like, there's not.
No, he's climbed the mountain.
Every goal exactly. Since he broke the record is the new record.
Yep.
It's like Hank Aaron when he set the home runs record. Everyone after that was the new record. But, yeah, man, he is something else. I'll tell you that.
That he is, baby.
He really is. Good morning, everybody. I just saw this story before we went on air. Really sad story. I don't know. There's no details on it. Marshawn Nyland, the Cowboys' second-year defensive end. He's the guy that blocked the punt on Monday night against the Cardinals and scored. He fell on it in the end zone. He passed away suddenly last night at the age of 24 years old. No, details on this sudden, passing. The Cowboys put out a statement. It is extreme sadness that the Dallas Cowboys share that Marshawn Nyland tragically passed away this morning. Marshawn was a beloved teammate and member of our organization. Our thoughts and prayers regarding Marshawn are with his girlfriend, Catalina, and his family. 24 years old, no details. Nyland actually was a pretty good player for them this year. Second-year player, had a sack, had the, touchdown on the block punt. Like you said, it's like, when you see these stories, it's kind of, scary and morbid and all those things and sad. But it's like you go right to TMZ. Go right to TMZ to find out what happened. We don't have anything yet as to why this happened.
Nothing. I'm sure we'll get more details kind of drip-fed throughout the morning, or if not the coming days. But yeah, nothing on it. Like Brian exclaimed about 5 minutes before the show, because Brian is a Cowboys fan. Yeah. So he immediately got the notification. And yeah, I went right to Twitter and nothing other than, condolences and a statement from his agent and the Cowboys. It's awful.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad. They've had a very rough year, for sure. And, you know, the trade the other day for Quinnen Williams, I still don't get it. And I know, you know, some of you Cowboy fans are like, you're just such a hater. I'm like, okay, I'm not really. I used to be. I used to feel it a lot more, but your team has stunk forever, and we just had the only good season we've had in 33 years. And it's like, no, I just don't get, you know, a team that isn't really going to make a playoff run at 3-5-1, especially with the schedule they have, giving up a first and a second for a great player. Don't get me wrong, Quinnen Williams is a great player, but you know, if you were going to make that trade, Dallas, I was thinking about this, and we didn't talk about it yesterday. Why didn't they make it 3 weeks ago? You know, when it could have been more impactful. Like, at least the Bengals realized Jake Browning doesn't give us any chance. And, you know, they made a move. Like, I'm not saying that they gave up the expense that the Cowboys did for Quinnen Williams, but the point is they acted in a timely manner so that if it turned out to be something that works, they could actually take advantage of it. And look, Flacco's not been the issue. They just can't stop anybody. Flacco's been phenomenal since they traded for him now, what, 3 weeks ago, a month ago? How many games has he played in? Three or four at this point? If you're going to do that, why wait for the trade deadline? You don't have to wait for the trade deadline. That maybe the Jets weren't interested in dealing Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, 3 weeks ago. But if you're going to do that, you do that so that you can make something out of the current season. They're 3-5-1. And they still have the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Chargers. They got to come here on Christmas Day. See what happens when that happens. Busy show today. Denton, end of this hour to talk some college football. Charch in his normal spot at 11:25. And I told you guys yesterday that I was having Steve Suter on the show. He's on my podcast every Wednesday. Breaks down the previous game. He is excellent doing film analysis. I know that there are a lot of good people out there, but you guys seem to really like Steve, and so do I. I think he's doing a great job. And I made him aware of the Kurt Warner, you know, film review. Warner, by the way, you know, on social media yesterday really tried to make a point that, you know, this is, you know, the one game, and it last year Jaden was so great. He knows he can do all of these things, etc. But Steve had a different take on Jaden's game Sunday night. But he also acknowledged that there were a few plays, for sure, where he could have pulled the trigger. So you'll hear some of that. Actually, I'm going to give you a bunch of it, because he also talked about a couple of things on defense that I don't think anybody really picked up on that I thought was interesting. But this from Chick to open up the show. Chick writes, "So Kurt Warner, your punt return guy," that's Steve Suter. Steve Suter, one of the all-time greatest punt returners in the history of college football. "Yada, yada, yada. Where do we go from here? As you always say, Sheehan, enough about blame. What are the solutions, please?" Yeah, I would say, Chick, why do we have to discuss solutions now? They still have 8 games left in this season. No, I'm not about to give you the playoff scenarios, although I will just mention that if you kind of take a look at the standings, you know, the NFC's number 7 seed right now, the Detroit Lions, at 5-3. If somehow Washington pulled off a stunner on Sunday, it would put Washington in an interesting spot in the wild card chase. No, I think let's get the win first. By the way, right now, Washington would be the biggest anti-public play of the entire football weekend. The entire weekend. There is more public wagers and more public money on Detroit right now than any team on the college or NFL board. And by the way, the lines come down. It is now 8 in a few spots. I even saw a 7.5 from where it was the other day at 9.5. Yeah, that's like the the, you know, the meshing of the two things that two of the three things that are most important for me in the smell test: anti-public, and then where's the sharp money? The sharp money, amazingly, is on Washington, and the public money's overwhelmingly on the Lions. So I'm pretty sure in tomorrow's smell test, I will have Washington plus the big number at home. We've seen it all year in the NFL. The big underdogs have covered and won outright, you know, many, many times. This year, it happens every year, actually, in the NFL. But what would be the reason for sharp money on Detroit? Well, I think what Dan Miller told us yesterday is part of the issue. They are injured, too, especially along their offensive line, where Penei Sewell could miss on Sunday. You know, you could argue he is their best football player, you know, pound for pound on that team. So they had some injuries. They came off a game in which they got battered around by that Minnesota defense, really battered around on Sunday. So they're probably, you know, the sharps are probably giving Washington a chance to hang in there, you know, and play well. Rain's in the forecast for Sunday, but I don't think it's for game time. I think it's before the game begins. Washington, the home team, it certainly doesn't feel like the game we were hoping it would be when the schedule came out, or even a few weeks ago, you know, a rematch of the divisional round playoff game and, you know, a matchup of two of the NFC's, you know, good teams. We have a good team and we've got right now a bad team. But in terms of Chick, like, where do we go from now? What are the solutions? Look, you're not Adam Peters and company are thinking about, you know, the long term, and it is a surprise, you know, and we talked about this yesterday. It is a surprise to me that they didn't pull the trigger on something. They probably were in communication and were trying to potentially pull off a deal to bring some picks back. They have six picks right now. We've talked about these. First, third, fifth, 2 6th, and a seventh. They do not have a second or a fourth. Those went as part of the Tunsil deal in the offseason. You know, it's not like they have three picks. You are allotted seven. They have six. They just don't have a second and a fourth. So, you know, it is not it's not close to a typical allotment, even though the total picks are six, one less. It's where the picks are. They can still, you know, make some moves. They could use that first rounder, which right now would be borderline top 10, to move back and pick up more picks. We'll see how it works. The solution, though, right now, Chick, from, you know, a Dan Quinn coaching staff and player standpoint, is to try to win some games and get back into this thing. I'm being serious now. I understand what the odds are. I understand what the team looks like. We stink right now. I mean, we are terrible on defense. And there doesn't appear to be, like, a solution defensively. But NFL seasons every year are just wild. Now, if we were in week 12 or week 13, we could start focusing in on the draft, free agents, etc. I think we need to wait a few weeks. They're 3-6. They're not 0-9. They're not 1-8. They are 3-6, and they'll have the opportunities with games to work their way back into this thing. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't. Let me just be clear on that. I'm talking from their standpoint. You know, the coaches aren't coming up with solutions for next year. The players aren't thinking that. They're thinking, how can we pull off a stunner at home on Sunday against a team that just took a beating, you know, offensively? They've got some injuries along their offensive line, so they may be banged up like we are. How can we pull off a shocker, which happens all the time in the NFL, to totally change the narrative in one 60-minute, three-hour, you know, window? Because, you know, if they pulled it off, you know, and they want to 21-20 game, and Monday morning they're 4-6 going to Madrid to face the Dolphins, off of some news that may come later today that Jaden could be back in a couple of weeks, you know, in a month or so, and only miss three games, you know, because we got the bye week coming up. I mean, this is our fan base isn't any different than a lot of other fan bases. I think it's just been more of a recent phenomena that recency bias is what it is. Like, what you saw Sunday is what it is. It's we've lived in this world for a few years now, especially on social media. The declarations after one game are just amazing to me. I mean, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't usually work out. If you're going to declare things about an NFL team or an NFL season, you know, before the halfway mark, you're pretty much guaranteed to be wrong because of how quickly things change. Again, I want to be clear. The solutions we can talk about, Chick, down the road. What do they need? They need everything, man. They need, most importantly, let me just tell you, they need to find themselves an absolute A player on defense. A player that needs to be game plan for. Maybe not next year, maybe not in 2027, but by the time we get to 2028 in year three, that player is a monster. They've got to find that defensive stud. All right. And then offensively, they've got to find a true elite playmaker at the wide receiver position, in my opinion, in the offseason. They invested in their offensive line this past offseason. Hopefully, the maturation of a Coleman and a Connerly Jr. starts to take place, and we aren't, they're not wrong on those players. Look, ultimately, it looks like Chris Paul's going to be a hell of a player. That's a find from this year. You know, it's not like you got to go out and find and search for a guard, you know, because Allegretti's too old. You have maybe the answer at guard. You know, you've got your interior offensive line, Biotish, Cosme, and Paul, and you should have Tunsil and Connerly locked down going into next year. You got to give Jaden some weapons. You know, you need Terry back next year, healthy, right from the jump after a full camp. But I think you need a fear-inducing defensive player, and in addition to your quarterback, another fear-inducing offensive player. I think that certainly would help. Obviously, there's a lot more, right? They need so much on defense. So much. I think they got Kinlaw right, but they're going to move on from Payne. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to move on from Payne. So they're going to need another interior answer. They're going to need edge answers. I mean, Armstrong is a guy that I'm sure they'll want to bring back. He is a keeper, I think. Wise at this point, after the seriousness of his injury, probably not, right? One-year deal, probably not. So they got ends, they've got, you know, corners, they've got safe, they've got a lot on defense. But really, they've got to come up with some A players on offense and defense. Because right now, they've got one, I think maybe two A players on the team. Three, when he's healthy, right? Tunsil, Jaden, Tunsil, and Terry. Right, in terms of true A players. But Terry's not the fear-inducing receiver. Sorry, I know that triggers so many of you. He's just not. You don't game plan for Terry. You game plan for Jackson Smith and the Jigba. Okay, you game plan for, you know, there's 7, 8, 9 guys you game plan for. Terry's not one of those guys. He's a phenomenal contested catch guy, and there's something to be said for all guys like that. But in terms of the immediate, you know, solution, Chick, beat Detroit. That's so cliche, I get it. But imagine if they could pull it off Sunday, where the conversation would be on Monday. That you got to wait through these things. These NFL seasons are just, they're so dynamic. They're ever-changing. They're ever-evolving. I don't think this team, because of its defense, has a chance to get back into it and win 10 games. You know, I don't think that that's possible. I don't think they can win 7 of their final 8 to go 10-7 and have a backdoor shot. I don't. I think the defense is just so wrecked and so bad, and that's where a lot of the offseason focus will be. But crazier things have happened. I mean, the Carolina Panthers right now are 5-4. The Indianapolis Colts are 7-2. You know, the Panthers lost last week to Buffalo 40-9 and then just beat the Packers at Lambeau. Yeah, they've got better, you know, defensive players. No doubt. They've got better defensive players. Yeah. All right. few things to get to, including a couple of things that Dan Quinn said yesterday. He answered, I thought, a very interesting question from John Keim about the mental toll that this injury-plagued season has taken on the team. And then I thought he made a very interesting comment about how the offense needs to perhaps focus a little bit more on running the football. You'll hear both of those. Denton will join us at the end of the hour, 10:40, to talk some college football. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
The poll of the day is, Dan Quinn admits he, quote, missed it by keeping Jaden Daniels in the game. Is that a fireable offense? Not a lot of votes in yet because it was just posted, but through 52 votes, overwhelmingly, 78.8% say no. 21.2% say yes.
I don't think it's fireable, but, you know, it was bad. I mean, your superstar goes down like that in a horrific injury. They really got lucky. Again, I've said it a million times, that it wasn't a knee
or his right arm
or an Achilles or his right arm, right shoulder.
It goes on his permanent record.
But there's a split of opinion. You know, I during the breaks, one of the shows was on, and I don't know if it was Nate Burleson. It was a former wide receiver. And he thought that Jaden should have been in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy played in the league a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And basically, he was saying that when you're in that position, and we discussed it, you mentioned it, that you want to get in a rhythm. And even though Ross Tucker said there's no carryover week to week, this player said, no, you want to have some success so that you can then point to that
build
for the next week. Right, exactly.
It. Yeah, no,
so,
I agree.
It's not like 100% of the people believe that it was the wrong move to keep him in the game when the drive started with 12
That's
or
more
11
important.
Minutes
the
left.
7 minutes is what makes it look so egregious. Yeah. But basically, the fourth quarter had just started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And they went down the field. They went right down the field.
Yeah.
But they got
still
all the way down to the 10.
You know they're not going to score 31 points in the fourth quarter.
No, no. Like,
you have to, you have to run those numbers in your head.
He knew he wasn't winning the game. He knew that for a fact. I'm telling you, he wanted to have a positive drive and then end on a positive drive.
Well, that's
just like you do in the preseason.
Well, that's just how important is the positive drive to have?
Yeah,
well,
I think the risk.
Tucker said it's not important. Nate Burleson says it is important.
I think the risk of injury far outweighs feeling good about a drive.
I mean,
in my opinion.
I mean, the Chiefs pulled Patrick Mahomes at the start of the fourth quarter when they're up 31-0 against the Raiders.
Do you feel
better
about that?
The Raiders pulled Kenny Pickett.
How good does Dan Quinn feel about
that? How
good does he feel about that drive
right now?
Those guys
have played great. Those guys have played great. We've played like butt. They're still trying to find something. Yeah. We've played like butt.
Well, then why did the Raiders pull Geno Smith besides looking like butt?
I don't know. Geno's had moments.
Keep him out there and try and find something, right?
Geno's had moments. I'm not going to
murder
him.
It's a little different with the veterans.
I don't think it's fireable, but I think it's an awful, just horrible decision by a veteran coach.
That may be true.
Like, this is not a coach in his first go-round.
I still defend him, but I don't think it's fireable.
I could see how it happened.
I don't think it's fireable either.
I think it goes both ways, so it's tough. And that makes it great for a sports debate. And if you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067.
I really don't
also
think it's that tough.
John Gruden he was basically arguing both sides. And he's a guy who's been in that chair as an NFL coach. It's tough. If it was 2 minutes left in the game, all right.
I really don't think it's that tough. You look up at the clock, there's 7 minutes left. You're down by 31 points.
No, really, when you look up at the clock, it's 12 minutes. Once the drive started, no one pulls a guy in the middle of a drive.
You're not.
Nobody does that.
Well, just because nobody's done it doesn't mean you can't do it.
I mean,
when would you have pulled him, Cakes?
I would have pulled him as soon as
they're
down 30 points.
No.
Is 30 points is the magic mark?
Some of these guys, they wouldn't even play him in games.
Well, how about...
Yeah.
We know the numbers. No team has ever come back from that deficit in the fourth quarter. None. No teams ever.
What about this
week? In the history of the planet.
Let's just be extreme. We know we're going to lose the Lions. We go down about 14-0 in the first quarter. Should we just pull our young guys?
Again, that's not that.
Should we just pull our young guys?
The first
you know
quarter,
we're not going to win.
The first quarter is way different than 7 minutes left.
But we already know
we're not
going to win.
You're changing the argument.
No, I'm not.
You're changing it.
I'm not. I'm making the same argument. You're making the point you know you're not going to win. So I'm extrapolating that. We go down 14-0 right away, give up two quick drives. We go two quick three and outs, down 14-0. No sign of anything. I should just pull the starters.
You can still come back from a 14-0 deficit. early in the game.
You cannot come back from that deficit they were in on Monday night football.
You can't when you have 27 guys on injury reserve.
They were down
10-point dogs. You're already down 14.
They were down 38-7 in the third quarter. Would you have pulled them in the third quarter?
If I thought that keeping him out there, especially coming off a bunch of injuries, is going to risk him to further injury, yes, I would pull him.
I knew,
well, clearly,
and I tweeted
he didn't
it.
Think that.
I knew at 9:30. Well,
the
that
last
game
thing
was
Dan
over.
Quinn is thinking about is, oh
everybody?
Man, he could get hurt. I got to pull him. That's the last thing he's thinking about.
Okay, well, he should think about his best player's health.
Maybe now going forward he will, but it's one thing to pull a quarterback when you're up 31-0. When you're down 31 points, you don't necessarily have to pull him.
Well, I fundamentally disagree with that.
What about if you have
Raiders? Again, we're going to disagree for the rest of time on this. Fine.
The Raiders just did that, though.
Yeah.
That's a veteran guy.
I value my quarterback above everybody else on my roster. I need him every single week.
Just because one guy does it, one coach does it, doesn't mean it's universal.
Sure.
Lots of coaches do it.
Like lots of coaches don't.
If my prize player, Dan if Quinn my doesn't. Most valuable player is, first of all, fragile, injury prone, whatever you want to label him, coming into the game, and you're getting your ass beat by 30 points, I'm gonna raise the white flag at that point.
Let me ask you this. I don't disagree with your concept of protecting your best asset. That makes sense. But let's say you're the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
You're not going to the playoffs. Should they just bench Cam Ward now to protect their asset?
If they're losing by 35 points in the fourth
quarter? So it's specific on the game.
If they're in an unwinnable situation where he's getting throttled and thrown around
pretty much
like
every
a rag doll,
unwinnable.
Then I'm gonna pull him out. Then I'm gonna pull him out.
Most games for the Titans are unwinnable.
Yes, I
most
value
games
my
for the Titans are
you guys
unwinnable.
Might not value your quarterbacks the way I do. I value them highly.
No, we're just bringing out like
I'm trying to figure your line. Yeah.
Where's the line? Because well, you can make the argument.
The line. It's simple. When the game is unwinnable, I pull my starting quarterback out.
The Commanders game was. I was 100% correct. That game was unwinnable. At 9:30, I knew it was unwinnable.
Then take him out.
At 7-0.
End of the first quarter.
Who cares?
At 7-0.
Take him out.
Yeah. What about
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, come on.
You know what? I'd have
7-0.
Yeah, I'd have my quarterback for the Lions game, and yours is wearing a big sling on.
Yeah, but your locker room would be lost.
The first quarter too.
The locker room.
Who cares? That's overrated.
He's
losing the locker room anyway. Right now, he's losing the locker room.
You can't,
by making a horrible decision by keeping James.
Now you're being.
They love him.
You're being sarcastic when you say pull a guy at 7-0. I get it, but. If you did, you certainly are losing the locker room.
It's fine. The locker room is on the verge of being lost anyway.
You don't know that?
They're 3-6, and their playoff hopes are gone.
You have no idea what's going on behind closed doors.
Right, nobody gets benched.
I know the locker
you're
room isn't fun.
That.
You think the locker room is fun right now?
Doesn't mean they hate him.
We'll ask Von Miller at 9:20.
But they might stop listening to him. They might start checking out on him.
Well, you can ask Von Miller about that.
I think there's a problem here that pulling starters, pulling your quarterback when a game becomes unwinnable is a newer phenomenon, and it's not sitting with people the right way. I think that's also part of the problem.
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe
I wouldn't have had a problem if they pulled him. I would have understood it. But I also understood trying to get a good drive and because we've looked like ass all year. So if you had pulled him, I'd have been like, that makes sense.
It's much more common than what people say. And Jason goes, well, Dan Quinn doesn't believe in it. Well, Dan Quinn also said he messed up.
He would have.
Well, he's saying
well,
he messed
he's also
up.
Saying he would have done it after that particular drive. So he wasn't going to do it at 12 minutes. If it was 5 minutes to go when they started the drive, okay, he's probably pulling him.
Yeah.
But at 12 minutes, I mean, you got basically a whole quarter.
A whole quarter to not come back in a game that you know that you're not going to score 30 points there.
That's not why he was in. He knows he's not going to win.
We knew we weren't going to win that game.
If he knows he's not going to win
this
he should
week.
At least think about pulling his quarterback.
All right, well,
if he goes into the fourth quarter, they're down 30 points. He's like, you know what? This is just not going our way. Probably shouldn't expose Jaden to more hits and more punishment. I should probably sit him for the fourth quarter. That should have at least gone through his head.
Maybe it did.
Maybe it didn't. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like it did because he was going to pull him after the next series.
I believe him when he says that.
He waited a little bit too long.
I believe him when he says that.
I just don't know what
you're
saying.
He admitted he waited too long.
Well, he's...
Yeah.
Well, because the guy...
It's not me saying it.
Because he got hurt.
He said it.
Of course, because he got hurt.
In hindsight, he's 100% he waited too long.
Yeah, I mean...
What if he didn't?
People are going to be on both sides.
I'd be silly at pulling my guys out of games. It'd be so easy. It'd be the easiest thing ever.
You'd also be tanking in like week three.
No, not necessarily.
He is a big tanker.
He's a big tanker.
I'm a tanker when it comes to the Wizards. Very pro tanking when it comes to the Wizards.
I've been pro tanking, but at some point it's got to turn.
Understood.
And I can't be all uber optimistic about these guys developing when they're losing by 20 every game.
If in year 2027 to 28, this team is not contending for NBA titles, then it's a failure. But I'm willing to wait.
In 2027, 2 years, I'm not contending for NBA title. I guarantee that.
I've been waiting my whole life. I can wait a couple more years.
Back to the NFL. So I'm looking at all the scores from this week's games. Mm-hmm. Okay, there was only one other game, which was a blowout.
Yeah.
And that was the Rams beating the Saints 34-10.
Yep.
Tyler Shuck, theoretically, a valuable asset for the Saints. They're down 34-10. They still played him because you want to develop him. And I think that Jaden's not at the point.
Yeah, okay, when you bring up
Geno Smith, Geno Smith's been in the league forever.
Has Tyler Shuck missed like 3 games already due to injury?
No, that is a difference.
Probably not.
I know there are different things, but I'm just saying that I think when the offense is struggling and you have a young quarterback, development is a big thing. And I think they wanted him out on the field for another drive to hopefully get success.
Health greater than signed development every single time. His health is way more important than one goofy drive that they feel good about.
I was told he's in the Hall of Fame. I was told he's in the Hall of Fame. That one drive is going to really make a difference for him.
No, the health is always.
There's only one guy who's put him in the Hall of Fame.
He's got to stay healthy.
Here come the caveats.
Well,
it's part of the equation.
I always said that. Health is always an issue, though. Mm-hmm. And you can't dismiss it. I don't care who's. You can't dismiss it. You can get hurt on the first play of the game, the last play of the game, middle of the game. It's always an issue. And you can't just say, oh, the game was unwinnable. I'll tell you right now, most of their games are unwinnable. Most of their games are unwinnable.
Well, that's why.
So should we just not play him? And I go, some people do want to shut him down for the rest of the year.
Some people do.
If it's unwinnable late in the second quarter, you keep playing the guys. But then when it becomes a 35 or 40 point massacre and there's no upside to keep your players out there,
you pull them. 28 points in the first half. Should they have,
it was 31-7 at half, wasn't it?
It was 31, yeah. He was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, you're down 24.
100 for 100 with a million yards and we had no stops.
I mean, you're down 24 at third quarter. Why play any starters?
Yeah.
You're not coming back from that.
You ain't coming back. Everybody knew you ain't coming
I wouldn't
back.
Have a problem if Dan Quinn looks out and says, this team's dead. They're lifeless. I'm going to save my guys for the Detroit game. I would have no problem with that.
I think he would have had a problem with that.
None whatsoever.
If Dan Quinn had benched Jaden and Bill and Debo and all the line.
I have a brain that operates.
He probably would have killed Dan.
I have a functional brain where I would say, well, I know what Dan Quinn is doing. He's saving a guy who's oft injured for the next game.
I think you would have had a problem with that.
This game is unwinnable at this point.
Most games are unwinnable. I'll tell you right now. Look at the schedule. Find a winnable
one. That's
why I said maybe
Miami. I wouldn't rush Jaden back.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to rush Jaden back.
I'm curious how many years would this kind of policy go on for you? Because he's young. He's injury prone.
Like year
next
five.
Year
in perpetuity.
No, next year. It's,
as long as he's on the, as long as I have a, I guess is now fragile. If I have a fragile quarterback,
you mean I guess? You could say, do you think he's fragile, or do you say he's not?
He seems to be injury prone at this point. And if I need to wrap him in bubble wrap, I'm going to do that at every turn. You don't treat every single quarterback the same way.
I agree with that.
So if I need to preserve my most valuable asset by pulling him out of games from time to time.
So we go down 28-0 in the first quarter. You're pulling your young quarterback.
If you're down 28 points in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left, I'm pulling my quarterback.
28-0 in the first quarter.
No, not in the first
He's
quarter.
He's trying to find your like halftime.
Second quarter? No, I keep him in because there's still time to come back.
Down 28 points in the third quarter.
When in the third quarter?
Start of the third quarter.
No, I keep him in.
All right, 7 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Keep him in.
All right, fourth quarter starts.
His magic number is 7 minutes and 26 seconds in the fourth quarter.
No, down 28.
That's his magic number.
It is.
If they're down 28 at the start of the fourth and they're showing no signs of life on offense, pull.
We've shown no signs of life all season
then
on
pull
offense.
Him.
Well, I mean, Eric.
It's true.
I know, but you gotta see how the game's progressing.
I saw it. I tweeted it. I'm going to bed. I tweeted it at 9:30, and I wasn't a brain surgeon. We all saw it. Everyone watching that game knew this was a loser.
two possessions in.
So if you
we were
value
smoke if you on value, the offensive and defensive line.
If you value watching Jaden, which I think you do, then you would. It sounds like you would advocate pulling him out.
No, that's
at that
why
point.
I'm making my point. I would not, because even though you know you're going to lose some games, you still need the reps. You still
I know, but
I believe in reps.
Eric,
he's
Eric,
had a million reps.
Eric,
I think that's
overrated. There's a difference being down 14 in the first quarter versus being down
of
21
course.
Or 28
but
with
you,
12 minutes to
listen,
go.
Listen, you're I know at, people at, make fun at, of me, but okay, I've watched sports for 55 years. Most of us are similar. I'm not omniscient. You could see a game and generally know, probably not going to be our day today. Generally, you kind
of
know.
Of course.
Right? When lopsided games, you generally know.
Yeah.
I know it with the Terps. You know, you generally know. So what do? Just pull my young studs in those instances? No. They need reps. They need to play. They need to grow. They need to develop. And sometimes you get bit in the ass. Mm-hmm. That's just why, like Tom Brady, should he have ever played in preseason? I don't know. But he played in all of them. He played in all of them.
It just kind of depends on how you view it, what your opinion is. And Dan Quinn wanted his guys out there to start the drive at 12 minutes. He got effed because of one critical play. And will that change going forward? Maybe. But a lot of coaches would have done the same thing.
All right, we got the lines locked and loaded. Let's do this. Come back, and because you might, I mean, there's no open lines.
Well, by the way, the poll, which now has a lot more votes, 4 out of 5 people say not a fireable offense.
Okay.
And I
so
I
he might have
not fireable.
He might have
regretted it. He definitely regrets it.
Oh, yeah. 100% he regrets it.
He might have, you know, in hindsight said, yeah, maybe I should, or maybe he shouldn't have called that exact play. But again, the drive started with basically the start of the fourth quarter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 800-636-1067. Lines are locked and loaded. We'll give you a chance to chime in. We'll shut up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.